You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hockey! Yeah! Yeah.
My favorite. It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Indeed, it is Judd's Hockey Show. It's Judd. It's AJ Fredrickson. It's the day after the Wild has played the Blues, but want to put a bow on the weekend for the Wild as they get set now to travel to the West Coast to play a couple of games. Ducks and the Kings are next on the agenda. And AJ saw an interesting game last night against the Blues in St. Louis. The Wild rallies to tie it in a third period. They lose in a shootout. Currently, 74 points. They are three behind the Golden Knights for the second final wildcard spot. Now, the Golden Knights are about to play right now against the Devils, and so the Devils have been struggling. So it's quite possible that that will change by the end of this, by the end of Sunday. The Blues are 1 point behind the Wild because they picked up 2 points. The Wild picks up one. But I want to talk about this game because it was a very interesting game to me, and I thought it was really, again, intriguing. So this was a Marco Rossi post-game quote, okay?
Okay.
In the Athletic piece. I'm sure he talked to all of the reporters post-game, so not just one place. But anyway, the feeling was, again, that the Wild, for the first two periods, was not that great. Flower, Marc-Andre Fleury played fantastic, and then in the third period, we saw the old furious rallies come out. And the Marco Rossi quote, which was, we were outcompeted for two periods. And then at the end, he said that we need to learn from this. And my question is this. There are 15 games left. You are now 3-10-2 against Colorado, St. Louis, Nashville, Winnipeg, and Dallas. So the better teams in your division, you are 3-10-2. First of all, it's a miracle that the Wild is still finds itself with 15 games left in a playoff race. I don't know quite how, but second of all, and it's not Marco's fault. I don't blame him, but does anybody with this team realize how ridiculous it sounds to say with 15 games left, with all that they have been through, that we were outcompeted for two periods as if you could come out and cruise against the Blues, who I saw Foligno's quote about, I think it was something along the lines of that was a very beatable team. First of all, they're as good as you are.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have Kaprizov, but they're as good a team. They're deeper. That's their thing. They're deeper. But how ridiculous is it that we continue to go through this, and yet this team is still in a playoff race? Explain this to me.
Like you said, it's a miracle. The fact that they are right now, as we're recording, 3 points off of a playoff spot, and granted that potentially and probably will shift here at the end of the day, just because Vegas has, who is it? You said the Flames?
No, they've got the New Jersey Devils.
The Devils. Okay. So I'm going to assume they pick up a point there just because Vegas is, they're still defending champs. They are still cup contenders, despite having a pretty banged up roster. They're pushing for a spot, but after the moves they made at the deadline, you don't do that in the hopes of, oh, maybe we will. Maybe no. Right. They're getting it. So that's their mindset. They have to defend it. They have to. So that 3-point gap, I think, is going to grow by the end of Sunday here, but this circles back to the NHL has a standings point allocation problem. This it's unacceptable that you can go into a game and just be handing out points willy-nilly. And this is maybe my official petition. Gary Bettman, I know you're watching, probably not, but we need to have a serious conversation in the offseason about switching standings. And I don't want to hear the, well, how do you measure former teams against current ones if you're changing the standings? Like, the Bruins the other year, like 100 points.
But the league loves this, Age.
The league loves this.
They love this crap because it keeps it close. But my question is this. How do you come out again? And this is the same crap that they pulled in Nashville. Now, Nashville's a better team than the Blues.
Yeah.
This is the same crap. How do you come out and acknowledge for two periods, basically, you weren't hard on the puck?
Like,
this is what I don't get. There is a character, again, there is a character problem here. I can't believe I'm saying that, but there is a post-Parisi, Suter, all of those guys. There is a character issue here. If you go into a building on a Saturday night in St. Louis with your playoff lives at stake and you might lose the game. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you got to hump it for three periods. You've got no excuse. You basically said, yeah, you know what? Until the third period, we didn't do that much. There's a fundamental character issue with this team that I cannot believe is repeating itself with Bill Guerin, of all people, who worked his ass off as their GM.
And I don't want to fault Marco Rossi for the kind of PR 101 answer there, because frankly, he's a younger guy. I think it would speak in it. Like we would have conversations of what's going on in the locker room if he came out and was like, we're playing terrible. That's awful. And maybe that would gain points with us. I'm not fully sure, but I understand being a younger guy in the locker room for him, giving the easy answer, which was, hey, they played better and we got to learn from this and all this. But that's the problem. It's that quote has to come from him. I want one of the guys wearing a C or an A on their chest to come out and say, you know what? This is unacceptable. We know that. Marc-Andre Fleury cannot have to keep us in a game for 40 minutes just so we can then, like you said, furious rally in the third to force overtime and salvage a point here. We need one of these spokespeople in this locker room. And I don't want a closed door meeting. I want one of these people to step up, face into the camera and say, you know what? We suck tonight. We suck for that first 40 minutes and we know we have to be better. But the problem here is that they're not taking it seriously enough, because these words right now, I think, are empty.
Yeah,
exactly. We're not seeing them actually use this as a learning experience, because we have now 15 games remaining in this NHL season for the Minnesota Wild. The fact that you're now just thinking about, we should probably learn from this with 15 games remaining while you're trying to hunt down that final playoff spot. Mm-hmm. Is insane. This should have been a lesson that you had nailed down in your memory before the All-Star break at the very latest. Mm-hmm. Remarkable after this start that we're now still having learning instances in games because we decided to take 20, 40 minutes off a night. Play 60 minutes. We've heard also from this same group of guys that every game matters. We have to compete. The coach had to remind them, guys, you better be ready to compete every night, because we need every point we can get. You pulled the goalie in overtime the other day just because of how much you needed a second point. Right. If that's not enough of a, hey, we need to be competing every single shift that we're out there. Some of these guys, you're playing 7-8 minutes a night. You need to be playing that entire 7-8 minutes at 100%.
That's in my notes.
It's incredible.
You're right. Yeah, no, it's and look, I mean, that game in Nashville, I thought was the, okay, we're done with this crap. We're not good enough to not compete. But you know, Marco Rossi, the first part of his quote, the first sentence is, we were out competed for two periods. And I'm with you. Marco Rossi doesn't wear a C. He doesn't wear an A. He's a young player. So it's not fair to grill him. But the question is, if that's really how you guys feel, why? What's the why? Do you not care? Do you not, like, there's nobody beyond Kirill, and We'll talk about him in a second. And a few defensemen, there's nobody in that room. And I guess with the way he's going right now, Fleury as well gets absolution for sure. But there's nobody in that room that gets the benefit of the doubt of, well, you had an off night, but you're really good. No, you're not. You guys, this team has no depth. And I was just, I guess I wasn't amazed, but I mean, I'm very frustrated by the fact that, because I don't care if they make the playoffs, but I do care if they learn lessons, right? Like, what's to stop this from being the mentality, unless there, again, is major changes, which I don't think you want to make again. What's to stop this from being the attitude next year as well, which is, oh, hey, we came out, we tried, but, okay. So I want to get to ice time last night.
Yeah.
Cause you brought this up and you're right. And this is my question for John Hines. What's the end game here? Is the end game to get this bunch of slackers in the playoffs so they can be blasted into oblivion? Like, are you like, and I'll give you some examples of ice time last night where I was watching that game. And by the way, I found a way to watch it. I turned the sound down entire game. It was glorious because I watched it closer and I didn't have to listen to any of the apologies, any of the, well, they tried hard, you know, drives me crazy. So sound down. But the one thing that occurred to me, and it wasn't the fact that Hines juggled some lines up in the third. Okay. Cause Zuccarello ended up back with Kirill, but I sort of get that. Like it's fine. If that's a mix and match thing, that's your thing. But yeah. Let's go to ice times. Kirill Kaprizov last night played 24:01. That's defenseman like ice time.
Yeah.
His season average is 21:11. All right. Matt Boldy last night played 24:34. Now this game went into OT. But he also took a 2:34 shift in OT. And I have not read a comment about this, but let's talk about this for a second, because I saw immediate pushback from some, you know, credible, you know, Russo, Joe Smith tweeted about it. So some very credible folks. I saw, you know, he had several chances to change, but he didn't change. Mm-hmm. And just for a point of reference, Boldy, average ice time, 2023-24, 18:38. Okay, so he played 24:34. So we're talking a major jump.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the OT shift, because while I'm sure John Hines wasn't thrilled with that, the message in that entire period was play as long as you want, because I don't want to play anybody else. Like, there was a very select group. If you go back and watch the third, it's a very select group of when guys play. Zuccarello last night, after with a season average of 18:35, played 20:16. Marco Rossi, get this one, season average of 16:26, played 20:44. And as far as the defensemen go, I mean, Brodin and Faber play a ton, so yeah. I'm not going to harp on them because they just play a ton. Zach Bogosian, season average of 17:29, AJ, 20:55. And so here's my question. What are we doing here? Are we... Because, okay, you're trying to win this game. I get that. You're off till Tuesday, I believe. I also get that. But all of this being said, you do realize that you're going to have to play. If you make the playoffs, your only option, if you want to try and win games, is to play for 7 games or 6 games. I don't care how long it goes, or 5 or 4 games. These guys, comparable minutes. You have no depth. Just roll at least 3 lines, John, and be done with it. Like there is no sustainable. What are you doing? What are you trying to do here? So your team for 2 periods comes out. And essentially, I wouldn't say they didn't try. I would say they played timid. The you know, they were soft. And so in the third period, now they're going to try hard. But you're just going to play guys so damn much. What's the end game? So I know they're off till Tuesday. But Age, if you're going to win playoff games, you have to replicate the minutes here. Because you're not going to suddenly play your third or fourth line then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what I don't understand from a fundamental common sense standpoint. So you're trying to make the playoffs to then roll 3 to 4 lines again. You're trying to, look, this is abuse. This is abuse. And I'm not so sure that Boldy wasn't told, if you stay out there, stay out there.
The minutes are like, I mean, it's, there's,
a, I was
huge,
there's yelling.
Just a conversation. Yeah. There's just the a TV. Massive conversation. Off. So you look at the 5-on-5 line, like ice time here. Kaprizov, Hartman, Boldy, 10 minutes.
No power plays too. Age.
Yeah.
The Wild had no power play, so there was no 5-on-4.
So I, and this is, you know, like I said, pretty much leading up to that overtime where it goes to 3-on-3, here's ice time for lines. Kaprizov, Hartman, Boldy, 10 minutes, 52 seconds. Johansson, Rossi, Zuccarello, 10 minutes, 21 seconds. You know, basically a 1A, 1B situation there. 6:54, Foligno, Husnadinov, and Freddie Gaudreau. Johansson, Hartman, Boldy, you know, after we start matching up. So, but that's the thing right there. That's the thing right there. We go from the third line pretty much having three less minutes than line number two. And then you don't even have like a fourth line essentially for the next handful of combinations. The Shaw-Lettieri Lucchini line gets 408. And this goes to your point of there's just no depth. You know how you got two overtime last night? The guy who's been carrying you for the past month, it seems like, Kirill Kaprizov, two goal involvements. He scores on a centering pass to the front that he bats in, and then he takes advantage of, I want to say it was Bolduc, who kind of slipped and fell in his own zone looking to exit, and gives it to Marco Rossi, who's left wide open because of the defensive breakdown, and puts one past Binnington. That's how you got to overtime, because you have one guy who continues night after night to just be better than everyone else because he is a star. But the problem is, in this star, in this galaxy, there's one shining star. There are maybe like very distant little blemishes, and like, oh, I think I see some light over there. Oh, nope, that's just a plane. That's not a star. That you have a galaxy that has one star, and there's no supporting cosmos. There's no planets. There's nothing.
At times, but you're right. As of late, he's gone back to too many shots that don't hit the net. So,
I should clarify. This is like as of late. I do think Boldy, when he's on his game, can absolutely add to this galaxy that I'm making up. But right now, you need a couple extra stars, and even if it's a shooting star that's there for, you know, a period or two, and all of a sudden it disappears, that's fine. But you can't just rely on Kirill, because like you're saying, let's get to the playoffs. Sure, that's fine. Congratulations. After taking over, the team has played. They played well. I mean, let's just reflect here. They've had some instances where guys have been out. Other than that, when healthy, frankly, the fact that they are now, like you said earlier at the top of the show, pushing for a playoff spot is something short of a miracle. It's really impressive. But let's say you get there, you get in. Okay, perfect. We're going to match up, blah, blah, blah. You know what any other team in the playoffs is going to do? They're going to look at what we're doing now and say, you know what?
Take away Kaprizov.
You just got to take away one guy, really. Do you really want to put this, like, let's just put the spotlight on a guy like Matt Boldy. Do you think he can handle it? We haven't seen it in the past, so why not?
Exactly.
Let's make him burn us until he actually does. You know, we'll hand him the torch, but he can't really rub two sticks together right now in the playoffs. So,
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's the simplest math equation for the opposition, so I just don't know what the plan is, because there's no abracadabra you can just pull, you know, big performances out of guys out of a hat. It's Kirill Kaprizov and that's it. So when it comes to the ice time, these guys are going to be gassed. You can't do this.
But like, it doesn't serve anybody. You're going to, okay, to your point, you might make the playoffs, but then you're dead. The other thing is like two things about the ice time last night. First of all, the fourth line. Wasn't long ago when we were praised, when John Hines was like, this is unbelievable how hard they work. They're like any other line, you know. Last night was a working man's game, and then they're just gone. Okay, why? You're not good enough to pull this stunt. Get guys experience, and that brings me to Husnadinov, who should have played last night. Get him the experience. This is about the experience. You are not a credible threat. You are not a credible threat. What you are is a developing team, which might have a bright future. But my God, driving Kirill into the ground makes no sense. You're playing guys like they're, you know, you're playing other ancillary guys off Kirill like they're star players. Boldy right now doesn't, I don't feel like he's going well. He's up and down, frustrating, but the truth. Who's the day off? Why is he here if you're not going to play him? And if he's a KHL player with a ton of experience there, why are you treating him like he just got called up from juniors? Well, he doesn't know the system. It's hockey. Come on. This isn't the National Football League. You're not running intricate routes. He's a hockey player.
On that with Husnadinov.
Yeah.
Why
sorry,
are we
pissed
no,
me off?
No, you're fine. It's we saw his debut, what he went six and nine, with faceoffs. Granted, yep. Last night didn't really get into a groove. He won two, he lost four. But could that be just to the fact that, you know, he didn't get too many chances? Nine single digit minutes in ice time, 919 for him last night. But when you look at centermen who took like a notable amount of faceoffs last night, Marco Rossi, 5 and 11. He won 5 of 16 faceoffs that he took last night. Ryan Hartman won 5 of 21 draws. What?
Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't look at that stat. That's remarkable.
5 of 21. Right. Why are we sending him out there for crucial draws in
know.
A game where you're trailing for the majority of it? You need points. You're just letting the Blues start with possession. It's ridiculous. Combining those two there, 10 face-off wins. That's it. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to try something here, John Hines. We saw you late shuffle things up with line combinations. Why is it that you're not giving Merritt Husnadinov a chance to go out and do what he already displayed that he is pretty competent at, which is face-offs?
Right. Well, and now what really drives me bonkers is this. I'm the guy who spent I've spent the majority of the season bitching and moaning about Rossi and where he's played and his ice time, right? So now mm-hmm. Husnadinov's here. Well, in my opinion, and yes, Eriksson Ek being out hurts. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't. But like last night, Husnadinov and Rossi, I'm thinking, okay, now you've got two guys at center, up and comers. Let's see them more. And all of a sudden, Rossi becomes the, we're just going to lean on him. And Husnadinov, to your point, doesn't even play 10 minutes in a game. Like, what are you thinking about? What is your thought process? And everything that they do should be geared towards next year. If you make the playoffs because of that, that's fine. But like, they're acting like this is a credible team to get in the tournament and make a run. It's like, no, you're not. This isn't the youth of sports, Dad, when there were 21 teams, 16 got in, and you know, a team like the North Stars miraculously made a run to the Stanley Cup Finals. And don't tell me the Florida Panthers last year, I know they got in, I think on the last day, but they were an underachieving group that was really, really talented. This mm-hmm. is not that Blues game last night. I will say this. In the first two periods, the Wild described it. I think they indicted themselves by saying we were outcompeted for two periods. But if you watch that game, a lot of that game to me looked like the Blues were men and the Wild were boys. Like the Blues, the way that they block shots, the way that they cut off lanes. And you're right. The first goal by Rossi off the Kaprizov pass was just the guy lost his edge. Like if that does not happen, odds are that it's 2-1 and the game ends there. But like, if you watch the Blues, they're a much heavier team. They're a much more, they pushed the Wild around. Now that is a problem, but my point is, like, when Foligno said something along the lines of, you know, that was a team that a very beatable team, I think he said. Okay, dude, that's not necessarily true. You might not like the Blues much, but you ain't far from being the Blues, other than one player who you can't play 60 minutes per game. The other thing too on Bogosian, and this is what scares me about him. First of all, I play too much. Second of all, when he got sort of speared, sort of hit between the legs. It did not look pleasant during a third period mix up after a save by Fleury around the Wild goal mouth. And instead of just like saying, okay, that's fine, he came back and speared Brandon Saad, who speared him. And so they took them both. And I saw mm-hmm. some notes. Oh, this refereeing's terrible. No, it wasn't. That's an idiotic move. You're a veteran player. You know what? If you want to, you play them next Saturday at the X. If you want to get your revenge at that point in the first period, Zach, that's cool. But that's another idiotic move. You don't sign a guy like Zach Bogosian to a contract extension. I appreciate if he's trying to defend a teammate, but, you know, he cost his team, I think, a power play, clearly. That's mm-hmm. the type of stuff that if you are a serious team, and I don't know that this is, it sure doesn't feel like it. I know they're close, but that's the type of thing, man, you cannot do. And that's the type of thing where you play him a ton and you rely on him. You got to know, especially for your own protection. It's not like you're protecting Kirill. You got to know, age, where to pick your spots. And that was picking your spot at the wrong time, because it was 4-on-4 instead of being the Wild's only power play of the game.
Yeah. And it came, like you said, in the third. That is like, you're already in a hole in itself in this game. Situational awareness, like, sometimes is more important than actual skill, because if you can just know, I got to put myself in a certain spot, the puck's probably going to come to me. It's all about anticipating the play. And what Zach Bogosian right there needs to do is, instead of like anticipating where the puck is going to be or something like that, anticipate, put yourself in the referee skates for just a second here. You just got hit in a spot that you don't want to get hit. And like you said, it's going to put you probably in a better position if you just deep breath, suck it up, and we move on. And like you said, you get any kind of retaliation, revenge, or, you know, send a message when you face them in about a week on your home ice, where the crowd is going to feed off that type of energy instead of in an opposing team's barn. You can do that in the first period, but let bygones be bygones afterwards. And you know what? Maybe that rejuvenates the team in some way, shape, or form. Doing it in a third period in St. Louis, you're already in a bad spot here. You need every advantage that you can get. And literally, you need the man advantage in that scenario. It's just about being smart sometimes. And that is probably lack of better judgment. And that's easy for me to say, sitting at my house, watching the game, not being the one on the ice getting hit like that. But he's a professional. He's been, like you said, he's a veteran. This is a guy that played in Atlanta. You have to be like, he's been around the game.
That's the thing.
He's been around. You have to know, based on your history, this is going to be a call your team gets. I have to hold my tongue, as maybe as prideful or whatever as you are. Just take the power play. That's a better win. 'Cause you know, what's going to feel out of a lot better. Exactly. You know, it's going to feel a lot better. Your team scoring a goal, okay, I got to spear Brandon Saad. Who cares? Take a power play chance.
Yeah. Yeah. That to me was, that's the type of thing where if you talk about being a playoff team, you can't afford that from a veteran who, again, you're playing too much. And he's another guy, I think, that they're going to burn right into the ice at some point in time. All right. Explain this, though. So if you think that you are a playoff team, if you're putting all your eggs in the 2-point basket, AJ Fredrickson, and you said, you know, we got a chance to come back and win this game, justify this. How is Freddie Goudreau? I know he was great in the shootout last year, and I know he was Dean's guy, but we've all seen his season. How is that your third and final choice? Because as mad as I was for a while about ice time and decisions, it was almost like John Hines was like, we're not really a playoff team. Hey, Freddie, go take the shootout. Are you telling me Freddie Goudreau? Because it was what, 3 or 4 guys, right? Boldy scored. Kaprizov didn't score.
Who went? What did Zuccarello go first, or did Boldy go first?
No, Zuccarello went first.
Zuccarello denied. Yep. Kaprizov denied.
Yep, glove save.
Boldy scored to extend it, and then we went to the corner on vacation and flipped one. And didn't Judd? You know how impressive it is to in a shootout not record a shot on goal.
I know that. So it went. Zuccarello save, Kaprizov save, Binnington, Boldy goal, Goudreau on the box score. It says save. No, it wasn't. He never got a shot on goal. And I don't know. I saw a reference on Twitter that he was trying like the Pavel Datsyuk move or whatever. But I just
think really? About that.
That's your choice, Freddie Goudreau.
Freddie Goudreau trying to do anything Pavel Datsyuk has done in his career.
I felt bad for him. Well. And he was great in this format a year ago, but that's a lifetime ago in this guy's career. I mean, he's had a miserable season.
his favorite coach got fired. So I went from like, John Hines, what are you doing? What are you trying to win for? To, oh, you're really not trying to win, because as you said, Goudreau got to the side of the goal and I think flipped it back. I honestly felt bad for him.
Yeah. I mean,
like I didn't take a bit of pleasure. I felt bad for him.
Frankly, at the end of the day, like it's a funny, like, yeah, it does stink. Cause I know that he probably went back to the locker room like that. And he's, you know, he's an adult. He probably knows like, hey, this is terrible. This is going to be shown for a while. People are going to reference this because, you know, everything's videotaped now, but how bad is everybody else at shootouts to where that's the go-to guy? Cause he didn't crack the mandatory top three that are required. So we get that. He's the next option outside of that group. Right. And I understand Zuccarello, he infuriates me sometimes because in my mind, and this is where I might sound like a hypocrite in this sense, in a shootout, we're here to end the game, but there is zero pressure from any defenders on you. It's you and the goalie. You are, in my opinion, in a spot to win. You're in a position to win here. So you should be able to make some sort of move. If you want to do the Evgeny Kuznetsov where he just takes 20 minutes to coast in from the blue line because that throws off the timing, go ahead. If you want to, we've seen guys pick up speed and like get it done in 2 seconds, go ahead. The last thing I want to see you do is just kind of coast in and like, okay, I'm going to try to pick my spot and snipe it. That worked for Matt Boldy. He beat Binnington 5-hole. So sure. Zuccarello, it seems like when he does that, he never scores, but he'll also, when he attempts to make some sort of a move, I feel like and this is just my personal like bias of like my memory here. It feels like he's had more success there. Kirill, we've seen, and I guess somebody pointed this to me on Twitter. He's 0-for-6 now in shootouts this season, which sounds wrong, but I haven't looked it up yet, but we know that move that he did, he comes in so that he can either go short side glove. And this is where Binnington actually just did his homework last night, because you can see him feigning to go blocker, but he just the entire time he's like, I know I'm going glove. I know I'm going glove here. So credit to Binnington there. Just make a move, but you have to make a move that's like simple in a sense and not drift off trying to flip one over the goalie as he's like forehand, backhand. Sure. Yeah. I know you're not his biggest fan, but Mikko Koivu's bread and butter coming on the forehand cut to the backhand, because he has an AB option. You can either roof it if they commit down low, or if they stay tall, you just slide it through the forehand or slide through the 5-hole. You have to have a plan. And that's where it feels like Freddie Goudreau kind of just stepped on the ice last night and was like, what am I going to do here? What should I do? It's not a,
he was psyched out. Poor Goudreau. But I like your question. Why is he the fourth option? I think that's a better question.
Yeah.
I mean, who
else is on this lineup that like,
I would have rather seen Hustadinov get a chance.
That's the thing.
And I have no idea what his shot is, but who cares at this point? Yes. Binnington doesn't either. It's the element of surprise. I would have rather seen Rossi get a chance. Like
Rossi, I think deserves it more of a chance. Hustadinov, because there's zero tape on him. So
well, that's one. Know, yeah. Cause like that's actually the element a great of surprise. Point.
Binnington has no idea what he goes to. So that, you know, there's zero film on him.
Freddie Goudreau?
It does.
I have Brock Faber right now before him. Yeah. I know he was good a year ago, but the other thing too is John Hines, you basically hadn't played those guys. And now you just expect him to come out. Like he's been sitting for a lot of the period. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the exact Freddie Goudreau ice time was in the third, but my guess is it wasn't a ton. I understand that he was good last year, but I think your question's the best one, which is you really don't have a guy that you consider more talented in that format, because you don't trust Goudreau basically offensively at all. He's had a miserable year. Yeah. I'm actually, that one boggled my mind. Last question for you. It's now 4 straight starts. They're clearly going to ride the Flower train. And Flower Power has been damn good. I mean, he saved the day last night, that Kevin Hayes save early. I mean, that game could have easily been a 5-2 loss. But another thing I pointed out along with the excessive ice times for some last night is Marc-Andre Fleury's 39. How long can this continue? Because at some point it feels like, again, the bubble here is going to burst. I hope it doesn't. because he's great to watch.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how long that you can ask him and to continue this. And basically, I understand the predicament, but I don't think it's a realistic ask. I think you're going to burn him out at some point. And at his age, some point soon, again, I know you don't play till Tuesday, but then you play back to back. Now it's the Ducks, so you could play him or you could play Gus against the Ducks. But there's a bunch of things here, including what they're doing here, that I don't see as sustainable models.
Yeah, I'm trying. The word maybe I'll use is just disappointing all around, because one, Gustafson, I think you and I, probably a lot of fans as well, expecting more. He had that stint where you start the season and it's slow, and we had kind of seen that already. So you're just kind of waiting for him to find his game, and he did eventually, kind of around that All-Star break time, and he was playing really good hockey. And you're thinking, okay, if they want to move him, the value is going to be high. A team is going to be clamoring for a guy like this, and then just Titanic type sinking where you give up one, you're going to give up four.
Right.
And we've harped on how it seems he's mentally maybe a little more fragile than some other goaltenders. What do you think this is doing to him? Just kind of sitting, rotting on the bench, watching Marc-Andre Fleury, who is his elder. It's getting to his head. 60 minutes just watching Marc-Andre Fleury will this team into winning positions alongside Kirill Kaprizov. He's thinking, God, I'm going to have to get in there and do an opportunity. And like you said,
right,
you're going to probably have to play him this week coming up on one of these back-to-backs and, you know, pick your opponent. Let's say it's the Ducks, because I want to say they go Ducks, Kings, back-to-back nights.
Let me look that up to make sure. Yes, Ducks on Tuesday, Kings in Los Angeles on Wednesday.
And correct. I'm sure lovely 9 o'clock starts for both of those.
Yeah,
but yeah, let's say you put him Tuesday against the Ducks. It's the lesser opponent. And that's the thing here where John Hines is going to have to think who – let's look at the standings really quick here. The Kings currently sit with 79 points. So it would probably benefit the Wild more to really put like all hands on deck against them and get 2 points, close the gap, rather than if you're looking to play one or the other, not both, or not right a back-to-back of the right. same goalie. Like you could argue, okay, well, all hands on deck against the lesser opponent and try to like steal one, get to overtime against the Kings and close the gap there. The Ducks are the opponent where if you're going to go 1-1, that's Gustafson's game.
But well, I think
the
problem you need to win them both, but I think you're
yes.
Right. I go Gus against the Ducks.
But I'm not sure that we're not going to see I'm trying to think of who.
A Gus Brainfart?
Yeah, like they're going to deflect in, kind of Plinko goal from the blue line. All of a sudden you're down 1-0. 5 minutes in, and then you blink and it's the end of the first and they're trailing 3-1. Like yeah. It's, yeah, I'm not,
but then they'll come back.
He starts.
Then oh yeah. They're going to come back. Cause that's of course. That, we're back. Furious rallies are back. Yeah. This all feels like when the old cliche about trying to fix stuff with a piece of gum, you know, you chew up some gum and it's sticky and then you stick it on something and then you try and stick something. Yeah, this all feels very much like it's a really, really poor DIY attempt at trying to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think at some point, I think the flower from excessive play at his age is just going to start to, you know, go back to being a guy who's good, but certainly not great. And he has needed to be great. And I don't mm-hmm. think that's a realistic ask. And if I'm sorry, with 15 games left, if you still find yourself in absolutely key games coming out and in your opinion, not competing or being out competed for 2 periods, you know, the goaltender can't be asked to fix that all the time. Yeah. The goaltender can't be asked to fix that every single time. The moral of the story is quit fighting for something that you don't deserve. Just quit fighting for something that you don't deserve. You ain't going anywhere. You're not going to go to the Stanley Cup. You've got a team that needs to play. You've got guys that need to play. I hate to see guys not playing who should be playing right now. This is great experience. It is superior experience to what you're going to get next October, because those games don't resemble these games. So who's the Dinoffs of the world? I want getting this experience right now, AJ. And the reality is I don't need Matt Zuccarello, who again is up there in years playing all the time, because that might give your team a chance. But then you decide to put Freddie Goudreau as the fourth guy in the shootout. John Hines, make it make sense. That's my edict to you for these final 15 games. Make your decisions make sense, because got to be honest, last night, a lot of those did not age.
No, it doesn't. It's instead of bouncing to the fast lane on the highway and you're going 80 miles per hour, your speed, and you're running late to work or whatever, or you're in the right-hand shoulder, you're clogging things up, you're going five under, we're playing it safe here. Let's pick a lane. Do you want to lean into some of these guys here and, really show that, hey, we are taking this seriously. We're competing for 60 minutes. We're playing our stars because we have to, because these are must-win games. Or, to your point, are we putting Freddie Goudreau out there in the shootout? Are we saying, you know what? We're gonna kind of lay down and die here. And if it works out, great, but whatever. Pick a lane. Either you are taking this seriously, or you're looking, like you said, to the future, which I think you should be. There's no reason that Merit Husnadinov for these remaining 15 games plays less than 12 minutes a game.
Amen,
like,
brother.
And that's the floor. Like, you have to be getting, he's going to be playing against teams here that need points. Just like you do too. But the problem is, if you get in, some of these other teams that need points, they're going to do something with it. They're going to maybe make some sort of a run. You get in, you're going to get shut down. You just don't have the depth. But the problem is, the future of this team is going to benefit by these final 15 games, by getting these high intensity, nearly playoff like atmosphere games. And granted, you can probably get in and get that experience too, but you need as many learning experiences, and just get the guys more ice time. It's infuriating that he only had 9 minutes last night. I can't get over that.
Yep. And the most important thing is, if you do will these guys into the playoffs, Kaprizov needs to play as much as he did last night, every game, if you're trying to win. And that is not a model that really works. So you are exactly right on this.
And if you get the guy, younger guys, some more ice time, crazy to think that might just work. That might be the equation solver right there, where it's a fresh look. It's guys realizing step up, young clamoring guys who want ice time and want to prove themselves in this league. Maybe those are the guys that are going to work hard for a full 60 and guess what? Not get out competed for two periods.
And Rossi got time, and that's great. He got a ton of time. That's great. But Husnadinov does not deserve to be benched. Like, he's done nothing that deserves to be benched. And worst case, he screws up. Oh no. In a playoff race, he learns from that. Oh boy. That's a terrible thing. All right. We're done. Great stuff. Judd's Hockey Show. He's AJ. I am Judd. Back soon, I'm sure, to recap another bewildering wild performance from the West Coast. Not quite sure what it's going to be yet, but I'm sure it will be bewildering. Furious Rally podcast is done. See ya. Bye.